to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to
Mighty House.
I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is back. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at Mighty House. Get away from me.
She's a great part of a live show. What is she chasing you with?
Now she wants. She decided since we're doing a Facebook Live segment this hour on Clutter Clarity. Uh-huh. Now she's painting her face. You know.
Oh.
And now she's
have a little shine.
I know.
Oh, he's got a lot of shine.
Get that little shine for
us. I'll be behind the camera. It'll be okay. You won't see the sheen off of my skull. It'll
be
okay.
On camera.
You can also follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House with the hashtag Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And if you're just tuning in, last hour we had Chip Wade on. And Chip Wade is from HGTV, if you don't know who that is. And he's going to be speaking at the Cabinet and Closet Convention
Expo
out at Schaumburg Convention Center on April 12th. And if we've got tickets to that. So if you want, we've got, there's $150 value. If you want to go see him actually speak, you can go. You can go to that, and that's got $150 value to get that pass to go for that half-day conference.
Half-day, and it includes lunch.
And it includes lunch. Yeah.
Rich!
Free food.
Yep.
We don't
free
have
food.
Any more of those $150 passes.
Oh, they're gone?
They're gone. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you're taking it.
Because, you know, you said free
you
food.
One. Yeah,
because you said free food. So, I'm just joking.
As soon as we hit the free food. Or you can actually get the show passes to walk the floor, which is like, you know, $30.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the show is actually the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So, you know, it's a three-day show. And I'm telling you, if you're a woodworker in any way, shape, or form, it is a great show. There, I have bought so much stuff at those woodworking shows, and that one in particular. It's awesome.
So, and I think that used to be called the Woodworkers Show, correct? It was
Woodworking and Cabinet? I didn't find out for a fact. I have a feeling it's the same, but I'm not positive.
Well, yeah, on the Twitter we had Woodworking Biz commenting on it. Chip Wade's, you know, going to be there. So yeah, there's a lot of people that are doing that.
And if you go to Chip's website too, that dude's he's into a lot of different stuff.
Yes.
A lot of different shows.
Yep.
Of course, he is that 30-something that everybody's looking for.
Yep.
You
but
know,
you know
so.
What he said? He's been doing this for 10 years.
Yep.
He started when he was 20-something.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And well, his father was quite a craftsman, so he worked alongside his father.
His father was Dwayne Wade?
No.
Yikes.
That was funny.
And the Woodworking Network has, you know, they were on the Twitter also talking about it. So, you know, there's it's woodworking and cabinetry stuff. If you've got that wood shop in your basement and you're like tinkering with stuff, this is a great show to go to. So we've got some free passes for you still. 847-475-1590. 847-475-1590. We've got passes to give away each hour. And just give us a call. Tell Trixie you want those passes and we'll go from there. Let's see.
Yeah.
Next up. Are you all painted up now?
I don't even know what you're talking about. What do you... Stop.
What do you mean?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you broke out these brushes and rollers and...
Prove it.
Okay. I didn't actually bring the Facebook
it's
thing
all
up.
Good.
I didn't.
It didn't happen.
Oh, it didn't happen. Okay. Okay,
so,
good.
You know...
Yeah.
I don't know where you're heading next, but
you know, I'm following you.
From,
drainage plane.
Well, you know, we get the updates from the City of Chicago Department of Buildings.
Yeah.
And we might have to have Judy on again because Judy Friedland, the building commissioner for City of Chicago, we had her on a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And so I got this update, and they actually now have a bad actor ordinance.
Uh-huh. They were starting it.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know, it's kind of funny. It just, the name it, the bad actor, I'm not sure exactly.
Is this an April Fool's joke?
No.
Explain.
Explain?
Please.
You got some explaining to do?
Please.
Okay.
It's basically just saying that, you know, if you're out there doing work, you know, and you might even have a license and stuff, but if you're not doing things right or you're not pulling your permits correctly and so on, they will suspend your license and your permit privileges and so on.
Yeah. And
so I just thought it was an interesting title just simply because Chicago does, you know, I mean, you got, how many, what do you got? Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Law, Chicago, you know, the whole nine yards. And then to come out with a bad actor ordinance, it's like it just kind of linked them together. I thought it was kind of funny. Obviously, it has nothing to do with acting.
Right.
But when you read it, yeah, you wouldn't know that.
You know, I'm, what is it?
What?
Bad actor. What is
it? In the building industry, you know, like somebody that's not building to code. And maybe they're skirting the building department and trying to work without permits, and so they're coming up with ways to help prevent those people from working.
And it's called illegal. A bad actor.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's rules regarding the suspension of permit privileges, suspension and revocation of license, registration, certification are included. And you can click on the links, and of course you get in the weeds real quick on mm-hmm. you know the legal stuff, but. Yeah, so yeah, it's just stuff, you know, and Judy says she'd be happy to come in, so we
right.
can't do it weekly, but I think we could bring her in again in a month or so and,
oh, yeah.
and talk about some of the changes, because, you know, it's amazing how, because of her background in, you know, she was a prosecutor for people that were doing things wrong,
mm-hmm.
so she would go after them,
mm-hmm.
but she, instead of just becoming, let's say, a pit bull, she has really looked around and to find ways to improve the
yeah.
whole permitting process, inspection process. So
she's done a lot.
Seems to me she's been quite an asset to the city.
Oh, yeah. She has done a lot in that building department since she took over, I think like a year and a half ago. So
yeah,
she's done a really good job. So plus she came in and talked to us, you know, and she didn't.
Well, everybody has their weaknesses. The key here is now, will she come back?
Right, yeah. If we can get her back, that'll be the key.
Nah, it was a good interview. That was good radio.
Oh, yeah, it was.
So.
Okay, so did you see the new roofing removal tool I posted on Facebook and Twitter?
Yeah, dude, that was incredible skill.
Yes. Now, did you see how he did it, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he had the shovel thing.
He has the boom on his probably a wall or whatever, and they have the bucket on there.
Right.
But now you've got a great operator, but you know the guy that was on the edge of the roof without his fall arrest harness and everything,
yes.
telling the guy to move?
Yes.
You know, so OSHA could have a field day with that video as well. But
yes.
that guy was giving some pretty good signals, you know, the bucket up and boom out and so on.
Right.
But this guy scraped the shingles up the roof so to take them off the roof. You know, pull them loose and right into the bucket,
mm-hmm.
and really didn't even hurt the tar paper too much underneath.
Not
which doesn't
all.
Matter. I mean, it's coming off anyway.
Right.
But seriously, what a nice way to do it.
But okay, can you first of all tell the listeners who can't see this what you're talking about, and then tell me how many times they had to practice this before they did it right?
Probably didn't have to practice at all. I mean, you can see they'd already been working down the roof. So what they did, they took a bucket and they got right underneath the roof.
Not a bucket of water.
No.
I mean, not explain, because I called it a shovel.
Yeah. They have a bucket, you know, it's like for a bobcat
like a
or something.
Front loader.
Bobcat okay.
bucket, yeah.
And it had a bucket on there, and that was on a boom. So then they lifted it up to the roof, and they took that bucket and lined it up right underneath the shingles, between the shingles and the actual roof sheathing that gets nailed to, the plywood. And they ran the bucket up and scraped all the shingles off. And as they were pushing that up the roof, the shingles were just coming off and going right in the bucket. So then you got to the top of the ridge where the end of that push, and then he lifted it up, brought it down, put it in the, and he would go put it in the dumpster. So There was no scraping it all off. We take pitchforks and you bust it all down. You just put it on the ground, and then somebody's got to go around and pick it all up. So now he did it all with this one bucket. What's going on? Why are we losing everything here? Or is that just me?
Is that a good thing just to do you. It that way?
Okay. All of a sudden, my headphones just went dead.
My God.
Yeah, mine too, because I can't hear Rich anymore.
Now I can't hear anything.
You can't hear a thing?
No, I can't.
A little bit.
How about this?
Okay.
I don't know. Oh, are you just because we're going to a break, you're just cutting us off. Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Stop talking. Is that what this means? Okay, fine. All right. I get the idea, Ben. I get the hint. All right. We'll keep talking about this when we get back right after this break. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them, MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House, and you can use the hashtag Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay. We'll finish up this roofing removal tool that we came up with that we were talking about in that last segment. So they take a bucket that's on a boom tractor, and they get underneath the shingles, and then they scrape it up. And they were moving it forward, and so the shingles are coming off, going in the bucket at the same time as they're going up. My question to you, Rich, was, did you see how they did that? There was something underneath that made this possible. I don't think you could do this with a regular roofed shingle. And here's why.
No, what did I miss?
Here's what I think. Here's the difference. And here's why I think he was able to do this. If you look underneath, there's two layers of roofing. The original layer, yeah. The original layer is cedar shake. And then the second layer is asphalt over it. So now, as you go underneath, that bucket's going to move those wood shingles out of the way a lot easier and be able to peel those up a lot easier than if you were doing it straight with just shingles. That's just my two cents.
And I'm watching it again here real quick didn't catch the cedar shake. I guess you can see them in the very beginning where the starter row is.
Yep. And then if you look,
because the rest of it you really can't tell.
Correct.
This is posted on Mighty House Radio Show on Facebook.
Yep.
For those who want to see this.
But regardless, whether or not the cedar shakes are there or not, to be honest with you, just this guy's skill and the other guys, giving him the directions.
Yep.
But you're right. And then actually that pile of scrap lumber that's laying on the very top, I actually just took as sheathing, like maybe they had one by that splintered.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. That's probably the shakes that he didn't get on the previous row.
Correct. Now, it's still a great job. I just don't – somebody that's going to try and replicate that, I think, is going to have a lot of problems if they don't have that cedar shake underneath.
Well, seriously, it's not going to happen on most homes because you'd have to drive the wall all over your yard to do it.
Right.
Most aren't going to do that. Unfortunately, most of the time you're scraping it up,
Walking
it to the edge and throwing it in. This building looks to be
like a tractor barn
in an industrial park because of all the trucks parked around.
Right. It's like
– But it's
a barn. It's a tractor barn or something.
Yeah, but no, seriously, guy did it. That's still pretty cool.
No,
you notice now in that picture too, the next couple of rows,
There's
a tree there.
Uh-huh.
So guess who's taking it off by hand? Because you're not going to get the lull there because the tree's in the way. So still very cool video.
Yeah.
So that's on MightyHouse.net
On
Facebook. I'm sorry, on Mighty House Home Improvement Show on Facebook.
Yes, and on the Twitter. It's on the both of them.
And you also posted this week a picture of like a building that was leaking.
Okay. Yes. So this week we got hammered with phone calls about my windows are leaking, my roof is leaking, I've got water running in, don't know where it's coming from, come tell me. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we just been chasing water leaks this week unbelievable how many calls we got. Just because we had a consistent rain all week long, a couple of heavy periods of rain, and there was really no time for any of this to dry out. So with all the rain we got, it finally started pushing its way through. So I posted some pictures of a building. You know, normally we come on here and we complain about split block and how it holds moisture and it leaks and it's not really a good building product. This is a brick building. And if you look halfway up, all of a sudden you'll see the brick gets a little darker and it has a little sheen to it. That's where the water...
Yeah, it's glossy.
Yeah, that's where the water is hanging out in the brick. So the water's gotten in there. But as you go higher, it dries out again. So what's going on there? What happened? So that's why I posted it. Even if you have a brick building, you can still end up with water in the...
So did you determine where the water's entering?
No, because it kept raining all week. We never had time to go take a ladder down there. I need a 40-footer to get up on top of the house and go see what's going on. My guess is it's got a 4-inch block wall on the inside with the brick veneer on the outside. And then they get up to where the flat roof is. Above that flat roof, you end up with about 3 feet of wall.
The parapet.
Right, and you have the parapet wall. And then they cap that with a limestone. So my guess is the limestone cap, that's just a big sponge. It sucks up water, and it just dumps it down the wall. But then also the cinder block wall on the inside is now exposed, and that can take on water. So my guess is those two things are taking on water, even with the brick veneer. It's running down, and right at that line where you start to see problems, that's where they probably have some flashing, some kick-out flashing every 8 feet. They should have some kick-out flashing and have the ropes in there that to help wick the moisture.
So they have the horizontal dam.
Correct. But they
so
just
the water's going down and then hitting that, and then it has no choice but to come out the face of the brick.
Correct. And there's probably... my guess, 3 feet of water sitting in that wall right above those windows. And what happens is eventually it just gets to be too much and it starts to leak in around the windows. So
not good.
That building there, that was pretty clear. You can see where the water is in the wall and what the problem is there.
What's the age of that building, you think?
It's 10 years old.
And I was going to say, because it's hard to tell in the photo.
Yeah. No, it's only 10 years old. Now, there's a...
No, that would be the reason.
Yeah.
It's amazing how a 100-year-old building does not do that.
Right. It doesn't do it at all. The other thing is, right next door is like... these are like twins. You know, they were both built at the same time with the same material, same builder. The one next door is actually way worse. And when I walked around with the homeowner and I said, here's your problem. Here's what's going on. We'll come back later once everything dries out and we'll throw a ladder up there and go check it out. I said, but you might want to talk to your neighbor because theirs is a lot worse. And once I started pointing it out to him, he's like, holy smokes. The neighbor's house was actually way, way worse. And somebody had already tried to address it on this house and hadn't addressed it at all on the next house. So,
yeah. And I mean, your photographs, like if you look carefully, it looks like you said a limestone cap up on the parapet. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But I would be inclined to agree with you. And it's funny because remember the old day, all the old buildings that I rehabbed years ago all had a clay fired coping on the top.
Yep.
But because it was fired, it was glazed. Mm-hmm. It was waterproof.
It didn't absorb water. Now, the other thing that does is allows, if there is any moisture in between the layers of brick, because the old, they'd had a three width of a brick in there. They'd have two or three, layers in there. So there's gaps between all those layers. Today, they build it with an inside layer of cinder block and then an outside layer of brick. There's that gap. So what happens is as the walls warm up and cool down, that moisture that's in there will evaporate and rise up through the brick. And when it gets to the top, normally it would have a way to go out with that clay tile. That clay tile is like a vented dome now, and it lets that that air and that moisture come out of the brick and it dries out the wall. Today, they take that limestone, they stick it on there. Sometimes they put a piece of ice and water shield or tar paper on the to actually cap it, and that holds the moisture in and it cannot evaporate.
Right.
So there's a lot of things going on there that they think what they're trying to do is keep the moisture out. And what ends up happening is they're trapping it in the wall, and they're actually making things worse. So,
well, because people don't realize when you have moisture, like when it rains in the morning and your brick gets wet, if the sky clears and the sun comes out, it will literally push the water into the wall.
Yep.
You know, it does not just evaporate off and float out into the air. It literally, sun-driven moisture will push the water into the wall, and if it has nowhere to go, it's now stuck in that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the fall, it's really bad because then obviously you get freeze-thaw cycles. There goes your mortar or whatever. So, yeah, the, like I say, building science and, you know, it's like Will, he goes out and has to go inspect this stuff. And it's just, it's amazing to me with the technology we have and what we do know that stuff is still done wrong because low bid.
Right. Well, and people that don't know, because that's the way I did it 20 years ago, so that's the way I'm just going to keep doing it. You were doing it wrong 20 years ago, and you're doing it wrong today. You know.
So, well, we weren't doing it wrong. We've learned.
Well, yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, we used to, like I said, the way we used to flash windows or didn't. You know, where we used to take bathroom vents and stick them up by the roof vents.
Right, yep.
You know, that's all normal practice 25, 30 years ago.
Yep.
But over the years, we found out, yeah, probably not the best thing we ever did, so we don't keep doing it.
Right, right.
Now we go to jacks or soffit vents, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So just got to learn.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's if you're having moisture problems, call a home inspector, you know, and have them come out and take a look. And I usually tell people, if you don't call the roofer, call an actual home inspector and have them come out, because it may not be a roofing issue. The roofer's going to want to sell you a new roof. The mason's going to sell you new tuck pointing or sealers or something like that. And it may not be the real issue. By calling a home inspector, you'll be able to find out, get down to the real answer of it and get it resolved and call the right people then.
Well, these pictures are a perfect example. If you went out there in a couple of weeks and sprayed that whole exterior with sealer, you'd actually make the problem worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because now the moisture cannot get out, because this is not moisture from the outside face of the brick going in. This is a leak somewhere up top. So if you sealed that brick, you're going to have one hell of a problem.
Yep, you're just going to trap the moisture in the wall and actually make it worse. Yeah. So it, with masonry, with wood, you want that to breathe. You want it to, you know, be able to get rid of the moisture. You want it to be able to dry out. One of the other things that we got an email this week about was last week we were talking about drainage planes, and they said, I got an email saying, okay, what is that drainage plane? What does that mean?
Yes, thank you.
So how do you like that? Nice segue, Robbie?
Well, I've been asking you for an hour now to talk about the drainage stuff.
Right. Well, we talked about it last week was, you know, we had them come in the what is it called, the blue wall?
Yes.
The peel and stick?
Yes.
So they came in, and it's a great product, and I use Typar all the time on wood framing. I love that product. But neither one of them are designed to shed water. They're both low perm products that are designed not to allow moisture into your wall assembly. But when you have wind-driven rain or any rain that gets behind your siding,
now
it tends
gone.
To get trapped on that layer. So we use strips to hold that off the wall, and then that gives you a drainage plane, that siding, the water could fall down and dry out.
Excellent. Are we good? Well, how much time now, Ben?
Music. None.
All right. You're listening to...
Mighty House. Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
Here I come to save the day.
Here they come to save the day.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, there we go. What do you want to do, Robbie?
Well, we haven't sang the email song in a while.
That's okay. I'm sitting in the back of the bus now. I can't. I'm not driving nothing.
Ben, wake up, Ben. We need the email song.
No. She wants the drop. It's drop.
What is he talking about?
I don't
it's 48.
Clutter clarity.
He's talking clutter clarity.
Meow, meow.
He's just going to sing it for you.
That would work fine.
You have an email? Is that what you're saying? Maybe?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Well, and we've got another one, too, that came from Trucker Mike last night, too, that Rich and I were talking about. Oh, here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Louder, email. Louder.
We get your email every day.
You say unka because you can't say oompa because that was trademarked by Willie.
Several weeks ago, one of the guys suggested that rather than replacing older windows with new ones, it's preferable to keep the old ones and update them to improve their ability to keep air from coming in from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Could you ask them, please, Robbie, who is most wonderful? I just made that up. What the reasoning is behind
insert
this
name here.
I know exactly. Could you ask them what the reasoning is behind this suggestion and what would I need to do to update the older ones? I was about to replace the windows in my 50-year-old home with new ones, but if I can save the money by keeping the old ones, I'd sure like to do that. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Yes. Keep your old windows. Unless there's really a reason to get new ones.
Well.
How's that?
Rot.
That's what
reason.
He said. You already said, but now he needs to know why and how.
Oh, why and how?
How?
Why and how? Okay, so here's the thing: you can go out and spend $800-$900 on a new window, and do a complete replacement, and you're going to have a new window. It's going to operate nice. It's all going to be really good. You can get wood ones. There's a bunch of different things. So that top end, you could match them. And what's the R value of a new window? It's like 2 maybe, Rich?
1.8.
Yeah.
2.4
R value.
Maybe.
And what's
the opposite of U.
Right. So, and then what's the R value of an old window that works properly?
Oh, about R1.8 to.
Yeah. The R values
are. The real key here is if your windows are not in bad shape, most windows are not the cause of the air leakage. Some are, you know, bad seals, things like that. That
right.
A lot of times can get rebuilt, replaced. But a lot of times it's the air leakage is around the frame.
Yep.
So 50 years ago, not a lot of insulation out there. So if you pulled the window casing off and just went around it with the window and door grate stuff, you might actually save a ton of money. No
right.
new window.
Yep.
And stop the air leakage and all of a sudden not a leaky window.
Right. And so, you know, and if you have the older ones with the weight pockets, if it's a really old house, then there's nothing in there. There's no insulation. There's nothing. So it's not the glass and the sash that's the problem. It's actually what's surrounding that glass and the sash that's the problem. So weather strip right. it correctly, insulate the window correctly, a storm window, even the old-fashioned wood storm that you slide up and you clipped into mm-hmm. place, those work great. That helps reduce that air infiltration. And it gives that air pocket that actually does the insulating. And that's what does
and
it.
And we had, was it Helen the Stripper was on? And you
yes.
could actually take all those windows to her and they could actually get them all back to bare wood so
yes.
that you can clean it all up real well, re-weather strip it. But yes, a storm window on an old window will almost always give you just as good a performance as changing to a thermal pane.
Yes.
Particularly in an old house. Again,
yes.
because the wall insulation is probably R5, R6.
Yep.
You know what I mean? In other words, you don't have much insulation in the wall, so why put in a high-performance window?
Yes.
It's just not going to make any sense.
Yeah.
And if your house is right next to another one that's vinyl-sided, you could just melt his house anyway.
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy, the stuff we have to think about now just to do something. Like, oh, you don't want that super-performing coating because you're going to melt your neighbor's house.
Right. Yeah. And it's all depends on where the sun's coming from and the angles. It's amazing. You can definitely do that. So the other thing now, if your windows are, the window sills are rotted out, the sash is rotted out, you can rebuild those and replace them and go back and put it back together. But at some point, it's so distressed, it's just not worth it. Then you pull it, put in a new window and do it correctly. So, you know, the bottom end, are you doing a vinyl window and it's $120 a window? You know, and that same window in a, say, a Pella, a Marvin, a Colby & Colby top end could be $700-$800, you know, with all the different features. So you know, it depends on your budget and your price range. And if you've got something wrong in your house and you think it's cold, that it's drafty, and you're going to do the windows first, I'd say stop. Do an energy audit. Don't replace those windows right away. Do an energy audit. Come in, do a blower door test. Find out where the leaks are in your house. Fix those, and then see how bad your windows are. My guess is you're going to find out that the windows aren't really the issue. It's all the other holes in the house that are the issue.
Yep. I would agree.
Okay.
Boring.
See, you got that, Robbie?
It's boring when you agree.
Thank you.
You always got to have like something going.
Right.
Okay. So then what did Trucker Mike, do you have Trucker Mike's email up there, Rich? I didn't pull it up.
I had it up. I do not have it up any longer because it interferes with my
other
signal.
Stuff. Okay. So,
but basically he had some leak issues. And it looks like he took apart the dielectric union.
Oh, and his heating system.
To his water heater. So that's where you put together two dissimilar metals. So you put this union in there.
Well, I thought it was a boiler.
So he was going copper to galvanized nipple, 3-inch galvanized nipple. And the galvanized nipple, I think he said, was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost completely clogged.
Yeah, I thought that was in his boiler. That was like a heating. He had hot water.
Yeah, it was boiler. My bad. Yeah, I told you I don't have it up. I'm doing this from memory.
Yeah, and so am I. So, okay. So
and
now
I have
we're...
a good memory. It's just short.
So the boiler system, that's circulating the same water over and over again. It heats the water and runs it out, brings it back, heats it up. So it's going through there collecting it. It's not like it's fresh water. That water is not potable water or potable water, however you want to say
it. I hate that because I always say it wrong.
Yeah. So you can't drink it. Once it's been in that boiler, it's wastewater. You need to put it down the drain. It's icky bad. So... Yeah. What happens is it picks up the dirt and the grime, and it picks up all the stuff in the pipes that leach into it, and eventually it does turn black. It gets nasty. Even in copper lines and plastic lines, the stuff in the boiler, it gets that black gook to it. Now, if you have a reduction somewhere like he did where it went, I think it was like from 3/4 to 1/2 or something like that.
Yep,
he had a reduction.
Like.
So... and then he had a union in there. So that restriction then starts to collect all that junk that's floating in the water, and it starts to restrict it even more. So now that's collecting on the sides.
It slows down the velocity?
Mm-hmm. So it starts to clog it up. So then when you take that apart, all of a sudden your heating's not working right, your water flow's not working right, and you open it up and find out that all those minerals and all that junk that was in the water has reduced the actual... Yeah. Opening, and that's what causes that. And as long as you have a reduction there and in a closed system, over time that can still build up and be an issue. So I don't know why there was a dielectric union in there anyway.
It's the pictures were just like close-ups, so I don't get a feel for the whole system. And
right,
be honest, even if you gave me pictures of the whole boiler system, that's pretty weak, you know. We can sit here and say I know a lot of stuff. Not so good on steam and hot water. That's what there's some pros out there for that. We call Jim the janitor. He knows all about that.
Yeah.
So here's, instead of using dielectric unions, I would just like to see people make a practice of not using those and using brass nipples instead. And that's just a short piece of brass pipe threaded on both ends. And you can thread that onto the galvanized part. Thread it onto your copper part and pipes, and now you don't have that reduction. You don't have the issues there of the dissimilar metals and worrying about the corrosion from that. So when you're going from galvanized to copper, just put a brass fitting in between there, brass coupling, brass nipple, short piece of pipe, and you'll be a lot better off, and you don't have to worry about it. That won't leak like a dielectric union leaks over time. So the gaskets in there start to dry out, and then all of a sudden there's a vibration, and then boom, they start leaking. So
not supposed
to put those in walls either, people. Don't bury dielectric unions in the walls.
You have too many rules.
I know. That's just the way it is.
I know. As I said, it's not construction anymore. It's building science. I mean, you know, I have... One of the parts of my gig is it's great. I get architectural drawings, structural drawings, truss drawings, MEPs, which are mechanical, electrical plans, literally interior design drawings. I mean, I literally will get six sets of drawings per house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to sit there with them and go through them with a fine tooth comb to see what will and won't work. And it still amazes me how much I have to send back to engineers and architects.
And say, you know, no,
this is not a good idea here.
Yep. So, yes, fun. Robbie?
All right, I'm just going to say, get ready for Facebook Live because I'm going to teach Ron how to use nail polish at Clutter Clarity time.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So,
that's
Clutter Clarity.
Clutter Clarity nail, applying nail polish?
Yep. Because sometimes Clutter Clarity is about making your life easy and fun and carefree. So you get the clutter out, so you want to do something that's carefree and kind of fun. And that's what we're going to do for Clutter Clarity.
Let's just make Ron goth.
Oh,
yes!
Yeah. Okay. What's
that will be next week. That's when we, like, you know, paint your lips black.
Oh, really?
Nail polish?
Yeah, black nail polish, black lips, you know, like a star shape on your... Okay.
What, so, wasn't he in Kiss?
Where's that coming from?
It's coming from Ben. I had nothing to do with it.
Ben.
You know, Bosch Tools might be interested in sitting in on this too.
Stephanie might. She'll be back. In the next hour, she's going to come in. We'll have Bosch Tools in here too.
Awesome.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House.
And now you're not drinking.
Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Hey, Robbie.
Yeah.
Do we need to get a pair of headphones on Andy here, probably? Think we can get those over there?
Maybe. Okay,
or
so we have
on the other side, maybe,
Andy from
there.
Bosch Tools just happened to come in early.
Sorry, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
You sucker.
Hi.
Here, let's put you on this side. There you go. Yeah. Now take it.
Beautiful.
No, there's no little attachment thing here.
Oh, no?
Oh, here. No.
So anyway, Andy from Bosch Tools is here. And for my Clutter Clarity section, I'm having Ron and Andy try a little experiment with me. As I said before the break, part of Clutter Clarity is making your life happy and bright and carefree. And so I thought we'd try something never done before.
That I've never done before.
There might be a reason for that.
None of us have ever done before. I saw these tutorials on Facebook where you could do fun things with painting Easter eggs. And I'm like, you know what? Easter's next week. We always want to try new fun light things.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to do this on Facebook Live.
We are. Okay,
let's go.
I'm going to try something. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Hello, all. Yeah, all right.
Andy. Okay,
now that's Andy.
Experience and this live.
Yes, and Ron's going to come here.
No, I'm not.
Trixie's going to put this on. Trixie's going to put this on.
I got to stay over here with this mic right here.
Okay, so we're going to do this on Facebook Live. And what we're going to do.
Yeah?
I've never felt safer than being 1,400 miles away from this.
Oh, wait. I can't hear anything. I guess I didn't realize somebody was talking. I don't think this sucker's working.
It's not. Are we not in there? let's try that. Try that. How about now? Can you hear something now?
No.
You still can't hear anything. Okay, then we need to get. Can we get in a set of headphones? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just paint blindly, if you will.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be good.
So, what I thought we would do is.
Should we need to open, don't we?
No, we don't have time. Oh. Because by the time you're done yapping, we don't have time for the open.
Okay, all right, go.
Okay, so I'm going to talk over it. So, what we're going to do is. On Facebook and YouTube, there are always these tutorials on how to do crazy things.
Yeah.
And so I saw a tutorial on how to paint Easter eggs with nail polish.
Okay.
So I said, why would I try this in advance? Why not try this live? And see this pretty picture here? Hold on.
Okay.
Can
it's
you
like
see that
tie-dye.
Beautiful
yeah.
picture? Yeah, we're going to try that.
That's much better than I thought we were going to do. Right
well, now. There's yeah. also a marbling effect. So one of us is going to try a marbling effect. One is going to try this. And we're going to just do it. How much time do we have, Ben? Ben's gone. Yep. You know, why does everything just fall apart when I try to do anything?
Okay. You got about 6 minutes.
Okay, so what we're going to do is you could start with your
yes?
nail awesome. Polish.
Okay.
And we're going to drop some. Are you, Ron, you can come close over here and watch.
Well, I got to get both.
Robbie, you have to keep describing what you're doing because this is radio.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So what they're telling us to do is, you can take some.
Okay.
Is drop some nail polish into a cup of water.
All
and
right.
again, I've never tried this before. So I'm going to drop more than one. You could drop yours in random patterns, Andy.
Yeah, just because a second. I think Stephanie, my colleague from Bosch, is calling me. 2 seconds.
Your random
drops
are going to, yours is going to be more of a tie-dye effect. So he's going to do some random drops. I am going to try and do exactly what they showed on the video. So
wow, that's
your eggs are brown.
So,
oh, good.
Okay, so I'm going to try it this way here. So you're doing random, you're going to do random drops, and you're going to try doing a marbleized effect. So you're just
now,
doing.
Now, did you just dump it in, or did you
no,
drop it?
No, I dropped it.
Okay.
And you're going to do random drops. I'm going to try to do exactly what we put on
the. Is that working, Andy?
No.
Video.
Come on.
Just pour it out of there.
Yeah, I think so.
Just pour it out.
Okay, again, random little drops. Don't be nervous.
It reminds me she was concerned about carbon monoxide in that. Now you've got that smell of lacquer.
It reeks in here.
Oh, I got it all in my freaking
face. It's awesome. Okay, so he's doing little random drops. So do different colors because you want to have like a marbleized effect. And
I am
again,
making a mess. We obviously have not tested this.
No, we haven't.
It's a good thing you got a stainless steel table. Yeah.
Oh, boy. All
here, right. I have napkins right
jeans.
Here.
Oh, yeah. We have napkins, okay. And I wipe it on your jeans.
Do there. Your little random dots.
All right. This is a riot.
Okay, so you just took all this nail polish and just put it in water. It's not water vinegar. It's just straight
it's
water?
It's just straight water. And
okay, so you only got a couple of minutes
left. Okay, you need drops.
You might want to dip.
Little dabs. That's going to be crazy. You just need little dabs.
Okay. Andy, you went all blobby.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put stripes in here. I'm going to pull out different stripes. Look at this. So you take a toothpick, and you pull out these little stripes.
Oh, I see what you're supposed to be doing.
But what you're going to do is do a marbleize effect.
So he gives it a little light stir?
Yeah, so you're going to... just do little swirls.
Okay.
Yes.
Like that? Okay.
Whoops, this I pulled this out looks, the wrong way.
You guys, this looks amazing. I'm an artiste. I had no idea.
Look at it. Excellent.
So I'm pulling these out.
Okay.
And I could have used some more drops, but you know what? According to Rich, I don't
I know, you're
have
running
much
short
time.
On time.
Okay.
I'm running short on time.
All right, let's just cut to the chase here.
That looks
what you're
going to
do.
Robbie.
Thank you. Is you're going
dip
to dip it in. Now, with me, I'm going to put it in sideways and try to capture that on there.
Do I go all the way in or just halfway?
You could do halfway.
Just as
so
much
you
as you want on your
fingers.
Yeah, exactly.
But what you're going to do, oops, I was going to say, is you clean up the edges.
Oh, yeah. I
you clean up the
that.
Edges so it doesn't.
Now it's going to run down his fingers again.
But
drop
that'll
it in
dry
the,
quick.
Drop it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So look at that.
Robbie, yours looks great. Mine looks like garbage.
No, yours doesn't. Yours is the marbleized effect. Look at how cool that marbleized effect is. Isn't that awesome?
Are you kidding me? You have done this before.
I've never done this. I was just watching this video all morning long.
Okay.
So Stephanie from Bosch Tools is here too.
Yeah,
so look how pretty that is.
She's watching us and laughing and thinking we're all jokers over here.
So what you can do then is when you put it in a basket, you have just this beautiful egg.
Beautiful.
And look at if you people are listening and you want to see how this is done, you
on
can
Facebook.
Just go on Facebook.
Mighty
and
House Home Improvement
if there's
show.
Any colors left, you can just go and get the rest of your colors
you
out of there. Right. And then you could just dip all kinds of different colors. You can make designs like this. This
beautiful.
Is actually originally done for nails, that you do your nails with this.
Okay. That'd be kind
of
cool.
Right. And then if you don't want to touch, here, put a couple drops in there really fast.
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't want to touch, see, I don't know if this is going to work with my hard-boiled egg here. I need Ron's MacGyver tool. Okay. If you don't want to touch it, what you would do is put the egg in. I'm sorry. Put some drops in there.
Now you're going to do it. Okay.
Just a couple, not like your crazy drops before. Trying. Just a couple pretty drops.
Look at, I thought
pretty.
That was...
Stephanie, who is this Stephanie, guy that you brought? Pretty, Stephanie's... couple pretty drops. Just drip it with the
he
brush.
He probably just wasn't prepared for craft.
Tap the water.
Oh, tap the water.
There, a couple more of those.
Well, okay. Look at that spray.
Here, now do some other colors.
Okay.
Stephanie, grab a color.
Is
just
this
get
a
in here.
Timed competition? I feel really under
the break
gun
is
here.
Coming up. The break is coming up. So
okay.
Then,
yes,
okay,
is.
So now look, if you don't want to touch your water, you could put it on a skewer. I put it on a paintbrush. You could put it on, and then you bring it up as you go through. Okay, quick, one more color.
One more. Okay, we have, what, 45 seconds here?
Yeah. Yes. So then if you want to do it okay. This way, one then more. You could just come up like this.
Hey, that's not too bad.
30 uh-huh. Seconds to get your egg out of water.
And then you have... a marbled one this way.
All right.
Look at all those. Aren't
I'm
they beautiful?
Yeah.
I know.
All right, Robbie,
they're
that's
so
kind of cool.
Fun. Thank you. We've never, ever tested this before. We tried it for the very first time live here just to see if it was going to work. Have fun. It's awesome.
This Bye. Is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.